feel like the Lord would want to say tonight that He is the God of breakthrough. And there are some of you in this house tonight that need to hear that. And whether you realize it or not, that God is ready to break through in your situation and in your circumstance. And when we worship and when we praise, God is looking for us to put on display our highest praise. He is looking for us to arise in a faith and in a passion that would say, God, I believe that you can break through. Where it seems impossible, where it seems difficult, where it seems like there is no way, God would say tonight that He is ready to make a way. He is ready to break through. Break off any apathy. Break off any unbelieving spirit tonight. And He is saying, if you would soften yourself to Him, if you would open yourself up and allow His Holy Spirit to come and breathe into your life, then He would move in ways that are more than you could ever asked or imagined of. He wants to break through in His church. He wants to break through in our prayer lives, in our worship lives, in our faith, in our surrender tonight, in the priority that we place upon the Word of God. He says, I'm ready to break through. Would you believe in Him for that? Can you receive that tonight? That has nothing to do with my word tonight. But you know, God is in His house, and we stand on holy ground, and we serve an amazing King tonight. And He truly is enthroned on our praises. Let the inhibitions break off of your life tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray for His word. Heavenly Father, we are honored to be able to come before you as our King of Kings tonight, and as our Heavenly Father, as the Almighty God. And we set you in your rightful place tonight, God, and we say that we minister to an audience of one tonight, and that is Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that every ear would be open tonight, that you would come and speak, that we would hear what you want to say tonight, Lord, and that we would be changed, that you would ignite a new fire and a new passion within us, oh God, that your house would be built, that your church would be strengthened, that our homes would be changed by the glory of God as we say we believe and we want more of your presence and more of your Holy Spirit. So God, we pray that you would just come and speak tonight. In your name we pray, amen. Well, our title tonight is Crowned. It is very fitting as it is the theme of our women's conference this weekend that we are so excited for. If you walked in tonight, you probably saw an enormous crown hanging from the ceiling of the foyer. You know, I'm so thankful for the creativity in this house and for the people who really put their hands to the plow and who have creative vision and who work hard. And I just want to honor them tonight. And for all of you, you've been coming week after week to paint and to cut and to just help assemble and make this weekend great for the glory of God. So I just want to say thank you for that. This theme, Crowns, we have been studying in Ladies Morning Out as well since January. And you know, it is not just a theme for women, but it is a theme for all of God's children. God speaks to this topic in His word for His children. In Isaiah 62, verses 2 to 4, in the Voice translation, it reads, "You will be called something new, something brand new, a name given by none other than the Eternal One. And you will be the crowning glory of the Eternal's power, a royal crown cradled in His palm and held aloft by your God for all to see. People won't talk about you anymore using words like forsaken or empty. Instead, you will be called my delight because the Eternal is pleased with you." These verses are promises of what God wants to do for His bride, for His church. Isaiah is prophesying the heart of God towards His people. And these words are meant to encourage us. They are meant to reveal to us what our Heavenly Father thinks about us. And He says that He takes delight in us. You might not take delight in yourself tonight, and that is a very real perception that is out there. But your Father tonight, He takes delight in you. He is proud of you. He loves you. The Lord uses the imagery of us being crowned for a purpose. A crown is a symbol and was used throughout the Bible to signify authority, royalty, His sovereignty, being set apart for a specific calling. And when you think of a crown, When you think of a brilliant, sparkling jewel, what is its purpose? Its purpose is to bring light and to bring beauty upon whatever it is placed upon. Its purpose is to replace the darkness with light and with power, with a beautiful brilliance. There are different kinds of jewels that are set within a crown that each have their own significance as well. But this scripture from Isaiah 62, it speaks of a couple of things specifically for our lives. And the first is that we are in need of a new name. A name that signifies we are chosen, called of our Lord, that we are his delight. This means that we need to cast off the old nature. We need to lay aside the things that are not reflecting him. Old attitudes, old habits, words, entertainments, motivations of our hearts, the way that we choose to walk and the way that we choose to live in this world. He says you need to cast off the old in order to put on the new. We need to lay aside what we think of ourselves, what our human perspective is of ourselves, and we need to put on what God's perspective is of us. The reason why we don't live in his abundance and freedom is that we are living according to how we see ourselves sometimes. How do you view yourself tonight? What is your perspective on who you are tonight? Do you walk in darkness? Do you live with the weight of guilt and shame upon your life? Are you living as a slave to fear, anxiety, according to your own desires? Or do you live tonight as a son or a daughter of the King? Do you live knowing that you are loved beyond measure? Do you live tonight knowing that you are chosen and called and set apart for a glorious purpose? Do you live this way tonight? God calls us to receive his perspective and the truth of his calling upon us. He says to receive our new name and to walk with him. The second thing it says in these verses is that we will be the crowning glory of the Eternal's power, a royal crown cradled in his palm, held aloft by God for all to see. We are his crowning achievement. What a beautiful image for us. He will shape us into his crown of glory for his purposes. The picture of us as a royal crown cradled in his palm is a sign of his protection on our lives. He shall be a defense, guarding his presence within us, so that the jewels within our crowns, they do not come loose. They will not be shaken off of our lives. He is holding us in his hands, and he will protect his spirit. He will protect his glory and his presence within us. The words "for all to see" are meant to encourage us that we do not hold his glory for ourselves, but that we seek first his kingdom, that we ask of him to reveal to us and to show us how we can show forth his glory, how we can shine forth his presence in our lives. The Lord is pleased to show us forth as a glory and beauty to him. God has purposed that we would be his crowning glory. Other translations use the phrase his royal diadem. The word crowning in this passage is translated crown, wreath, diadem. The scholars refer to this word as being a picture of an ornament that is worn to show dignity and honor. The word diadem is defined as a jeweled crown worn as a symbol of royalty, sovereignty, and authority. And the word glory here is translated as beautiful, honor, fair, glorious, bravery, excellent. Therefore, according to Isaiah 62:3, we will be his crowning glory. We will be a crown of dignity and honor. We will be a diadem of royalty and authority. Beautiful, honorable, glorious, brave, excellent people of God. That is his name that he places upon us. What a glorious name and call upon our lives, that we would be chosen, that we would be his treasured possession for the purpose of him placing a crown upon us, that we would show forth his glory. There are lots of ways that we are to receive and walk in this crown. For the sake of time tonight, we cannot go into all of them. But I'd like to encourage us tonight in one main area of how he wants to crown us. Our main passage of scripture is found in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. This verse is a picture of the church, of each one of us as his believers. And there are three ways in which the Lord has called us to represent him in the earth. Number one tonight is a woman clothed with the sun. The woman in this verse represents the bride of Christ. It represents the church of which each one of us are a part of. We are his bride. We are the woman tonight in this verse. And it says that she is clothed with the sun. This is an image that we are to be clothed with the glory and brilliance of Jesus Christ. We are to be clothed with his beauty, with his honor, with his image, with his likeness. The Bible speaks to our spiritual clothing, which are the garments of godliness. They are the garments of Jesus Christ and his nature. Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We are to be clothed with the sun, with the light and glory of Jesus Christ. And in order for us to put on the likeness of Christ, we need to put off, we need to discard, we need to take off the things that are not reflecting Jesus and honoring him. Romans 13, verse 12, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Are there some old garments in your life tonight that need to be taken off, that need to be discarded, that need to be laid aside so that Jesus can clothe you with his glory, that Jesus can clothe you with his beauty and brilliance? Some verses that are relating to the garments that we are to put on. Luke 24, 49. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Isaiah 61, verse 10, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Isaiah prophesies about the anointing that will come upon Jesus and how he wants to crown us with his beauty. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Number two, with the moon under her feet. After we are clothed with the light and glory of Jesus, we have the moon under our feet. And the moon here in this passage, it is referring to the world. It is referring to these systems, to the cultures, to the priorities of the world that we live in. It says that we are standing with the moon under our feet. We are standing above the world, not under it, and not even as a part of it. John 3:19 shows us a picture of the world that we live in. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, we have the moon under our feet. This means that we have risen above the darkness that is in this world. It means that we have risen above what the world's priorities are. We have risen above all of the ungodliness, the ways of the world that seek to enter into our lives. We have overcome the world's ways and its desires. John 17, verse 11 and 15 to 16. Jesus is praying to the Father. And he says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. We do not need to stand in this world, church. We do not need to live in this world being defeated, being deceived by the ungodliness and the corrupt nature of this world. That is not the call upon our lives. But Jesus says, I've called you to overcome the world. I've called you to be in the world, but not of the world, to rise above those ungodly standards. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. By the grace of God, we can walk in this world with integrity, with sincerity, showing forth his beauty, his character. Though we live and walk in the world, we are not of it. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We stand upon and we live victoriously with the systems and culture of this world beneath our feet. In 1 John 2, 17, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. How many here want to do the will of God tonight? And number three, the final thing tonight, it says, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. One of the interpretations of this crown of 12 stars is that it represents the 12 apostles' doctrine, which is the teachings of Jesus Christ. God is wanting to place a crown upon our heads that represents the fullness and power of his word. The fullness of his word upon our lives will secure his purposes for us. It will bring us peace and guidance and joy. What a beautiful picture that we can be crowned with the full measure, glory, power, and truth of the word of God. This is what he wants to crown us with. Our Heavenly Father has given us the gift of his word. It contains everything we need for this life and for eternity. And there is no substitute in our lives for his word. There is no substitute. There is no other wisdom. There is no other book. There is no other podcast. There is no other TV show that can replace the importance and the truth and the power of God's word and his wisdom for your life. The Father's heart is that we wear his crown of glory, that we carry his presence and his light into the dark world. And it is not easy to choose his glory. It is not easy to choose his glory every moment of the day, but it is possible. Within ourselves, we will fail. Within our own strength, we will fail. That is why his word is described as a weapon to us. It helps us. It shows us how to choose his godliness every moment of every day. God is ready to fill us with his presence and his glory if we are ready to surrender to his word. His word is our weapon. It is our shining light in the darkness. It is our guide in a corrupt world. There have been a few defining moments in my personal life that have caused my faith and my passion for the Lord to be as a fire in my bones, that it has changed me, that has caused me to never be the same. There have been a few defining moments in my life where God has shown up in such real and powerful ways that it causes me to believe that not only is the Almighty God real and powerful, but it causes me to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that every single one of his words are yes and amen, that every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is true, that it is powerful, that it is living and active. How is your faith tonight in God's word? Do you have an extreme faith tonight that His word is real for your life, that it is powerful, that it can change the situation, that it can change the atmosphere of your home, that it can bring the breakthrough? Do you have faith tonight in His word to believe for that? He urges us to abide in His word because His weapons for us promise us victory. They are not carnal, but they are supernatural. It is in His word that He speaks to us. It is in His word that He calls to us. It is in His word that He enables us to be strengthened, where He brings His peace, where He brings the answers, where He brings the provision. It is in His word where He draws us and where He reveals Himself to us. It is in His word where He teaches us about the weapons He has given to us and how to use them to overcome every enemy in our life. Our Father tonight is fighting for us. He is calling to us. He is guiding us and leading us into a life of fulfillment, victory, and influence. And this life is not a life of perfection. It is not a life of perfection, but it is a life where He will guide us, where He will be the light, where He will bring the peace in the midst of the darkness. The only way that we will succeed in this is by placing priority upon the power of His word every single day in our lives. God is ready and wanting to crown us with a passion for His word so that He can change us. We all need to be changed, and we all need to cry out to be changed often in our lives. He's ready to crown us with the power of His word so that He can fill us, that He can use us for His glory. We are to be clothed with the sun, with the light and glory of Jesus Christ. We are to stand in this world, but not as those who are defeated by the world. We are to stand in this world and rise above the ungodliness. We are to stand victorious in this world. We are to say no to ungodliness. We are to say no to any standard that is below the standard of Jesus Christ for your home, for His church, for your life, for the way that you conduct yourself. And we are to be crowned with this beautiful crown of 12 stars, which is the fullness and the power and truth of God's word. Further on in this chapter, in Revelation chapter 12, it's a very familiar story, and we've heard it preached many times. But it relates to this, and the Apostle John is seeing a vision of a battle between Satan and the church, showing us events that have already taken place. And it is meant to reveal to us that there is a battle that rages between Satan and the church. These verses describe the war that raged in heaven and the end result of the battle. Revelation 12, 7 to 11. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, Satan, who leads the whole world astray. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We are admonished that there are spiritual enemies that we fight against, but that we also have been given the means by which we can win, the means by which we can have the victory over these enemies. We need to recognize what the battle looks like so that we can be victorious. Scripture describes how it is the word of God that helps us to overcome. It is God's word that teaches us how to live with godliness, how to say no to the sin that is crouching at our door. It is the word of God that cleanses us from our sins. It is the truth of the word of God that allows us to be armed and to have the ability to resist the sin and ungodliness. It teaches us to live by the power of the Spirit instead of our ungodly desires. Genesis 4, verse 7, if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Satan is at work to distract us from being strong and victorious in God's word. And it says that he even appears to us as an angel of light as we are trying to discern between godliness and ungodliness in our lives. He comes to take away the seed of the word that is planted within us when we hear it. We must be aware of his schemes in our lives so that we can be armed against them. Our ability to overcome, our ability to be crowned with the glory of the Lord, to be crowned with the fullness of his word, it is related to our obedience and our surrender to his word. Satan was defeated with two main weapons, the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And these are the two main weapons that we are to use in our lives as well. Jesus purchased our forgiveness. He purchased our freedom and our eternity with his blood. And Satan has no hold over our lives when we accept Jesus as our Savior and when we walk in the power of his blood, when we apply the truth and the power of his blood over our lives. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It is imperative that we understand the power of the word because it teaches us about our forgiveness, about our freedom, and about our eternity. We would have none of these things if it wasn't for the blood of the Lamb, and we would not be aware of any of these things if it was not for the word of God. The word of their testimony in this verse, it is the Greek word logos, which is God's divine sayings. It is his word. Satan was defeated by the work of Jesus Christ and by the word of God. And his word is full of truths and instructions of how we can overcome the darkness, of how we can remain close to him, how we can labor to inherit our eternal crown of glory. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Philippians 2:16, as you hold firmly to the word of life, and then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. God wants to crown us with his word for his purposes, so that they can be fulfilled in and through us. And you know, this weapon of his word, it needs to be sharpened. It has to be honed every single day for us to be strong and empowered to overcome our sin nature and the work of the devil. Because the truth is, Satan knows that if you can pick up your sword, if you can open your sword, if you can begin to sharpen this weapon every single day in your life, if you can become skilled in how to use this word, that he will be ineffective in your life. He is at work all the time to distract, to discourage, to cause you to become so busy that you place priority over everything else except the word. And that is how he works. Oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I don't have time. How many times have you woken up in the morning and said, today is the day I'm going to open my Bible and actually read it? Satan is working to keep you so busy that you don't open it, that you do not become skilled and effective in the sword of the Lord for your life. The Father has given us a sword, and it is not a plastic sword, but it is a powerful sword that will kill and destroy every sinful tendency, every tactic of Satan that comes against your mind, your will, your emotions, your heart, your house, your family, your relationships, your work, and the church of God. It is time to become familiar with your sword. It is time to sharpen it every single day. Do not let anything else take priority over the sword of the Lord for your life. It is time to become effective and to become skilled in the word of God for your life, to obtain the glory of God for your life. Jesus himself overcame the devil with the word of God. And the three most powerful words that you can use against your sinful nature, against every sinful tendency in Satan, are, it is written. It is written. It is written, I am a child of God. It is written that I can overcome by the blood of the Lamb. It is written that God has chosen me, that he loves me, even though I feel unworthy. It is written. It is written that he will call his walls salvation and his gates praise. It is written that he is our intercessor and he is fighting for our families. It is written that he is the one that will build his church, that will strengthen his church, And we stand on that word. We stand on those words, church. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Your past does not define you. Your present situation does not define you. Your weaknesses do not define you. The call of Jesus Christ and the power of his word defines you, or so it should. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And in closing tonight, we are called, family, to be crowned with the fullness of the word of God, that we might know him intimately, that we might be changed by his word, that we might obtain wisdom for every situation that we find ourselves in, that it might be as a sword, that it might be one of the strongest weapons that we have to overcome every battle that we face. When Jesus was beaten before his crucifixion, it says that a crown of thorns was twisted onto his head. And this is significant because as these sharp thorns were twisted onto his head, it would have pierced his skin. It would have caused his blood to begin to pour forth. Jesus wore a painful, excruciating crown of thorns on the day that he died for our sins. His crown of thorns brought forth his blood that purchased our freedom, that purchased your eternity with him. His crown of thorns purchased for us our crown of glory. We were not worthy to be God's crown in glory until Jesus first wore his crown of thorns. Let that go deep into your spirit tonight. May we have a greater appreciation and a greater understanding of the crown of thorns and what it means for our lives. He has made us worthy to be crowned with God's glory. What an honor it is to serve the King of Kings, to be able to be crowned with his glory for his purposes, not for us. May we live every day honoring the crown of thorns, living worthy of our crowns. We are only able to fulfill this honor by accepting a crown of passion for the word of God and submitting to his ways. May we be stirred to a deeper passion for his word, church, in light of his crown of thorns. And I want to ask you tonight, do you know tonight, do you know that you know that God has formed you, that he has called you, that he pursues you? Do you know tonight that he will never leave you or forsake you? Do you know tonight that there are things that he has called you to do in your life? Do you know tonight that he has called you here for such a time as this? That is not just some coined phrase, but that is the truth. And that is his heart for us, that for this time, this generation would rise up as sons and daughters of the King, and we would say, I am called. I am worthy because of the blood of Christ. I am worthy because of the work of Jesus, because my Father has called me, because my Father has a plan for me, because my Father has said, I want to build my church, and you are a part of that. We are a part of that. Do you know that he will never give up on you, that he will set you free from every sin and every bondage of this world? Do you know that there are people in your life right now that are hungry, that are thirsty for the living waters that you have to offer because Jesus Christ is alive in you? He says it is time to arise. It is time to receive his crown of glory upon our lives. Isaiah 60:1-2, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen over you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Let's worship our King tonight. I want to encourage you that you would be clothed tonight with the light of Christ, that you would live in this world, but as one who has overcome its desires, that you would receive his crown of his presence, be crowned with the fullness and the power of his word for your life. Let's take a few moments and let's honor Jesus. Let's honor our King tonight. If you need prayer for anything, the altars are always open. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus, we would love to pray for you. Let's worship and honor him tonight.